All right, I want you to turn your Bible this morning. I have two texts. One is found in the book of Acts chapter 16. And the other one found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1, we find that the Bible here, speaking about the Apostle Paul, says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that was at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, we find 5 and 6, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded all that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stirreth the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity, that we can come and look into your word, that we can enjoy fellowship and sing the great songs of the faith. We ask you today, dear Lord, that you might, now as we worship you and through your word, that you might take the word of God, you might apply it to our hearts and lives and teach us from it today. And for all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Of course, as it's already been mentioned, today is Mother's Day, a day that's been set aside to honor mothers, those mothers who love us and gave birth to us today. And you know, there is a bond that is formed between a mother and a child. And I think it's a bond that is very strong, something that's very hard to break. A bond this morning that really cannot be described. I read something the other day and I thought I'd share it with you. It says, what is a mother? A mother can be almost any size or age, but prefers not to go over 39 for as many years as possible. A mother loves her children. A mother likes new clothes, but is willing to wear old ones when necessary. Music, a clean house, a dishwasher, and eating out sometimes. A mother doesn't like having her children sick, temper tantrums, bad report cards, muddy feet, and frogs in boys' pockets. A mother can look into the eyes of her children and tell when they're telling the truth. Read a fever thermometer and, like magic, kiss a hurt away. A mother can bake good cakes and pies, but likes to see her children eat their vegetables. A mother can do her household chores and answer 100 questions from her children at the same time. A mother can tie shoestrings, sing lullabies, and hear a child's cry in the night. A mother can kiss sad little faces and make them smile. A mother can give hope and encouragement to her children in time of trouble when she says everything is going to be all right. A mother is underpaid, works long hours and gets very little rest, but she never seems to mind. A mother is a guardian over her family, a queen of the home, and the tender hand of love. A mother is the best friend anyone ever had. A mother is love. This morning we are today honoring the time when we call Mother's Day today. And so this morning I want to talk to you for just a little while about two women that we find in our text in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to talk about these two women today and see what they did to this young man by the name of Timothy. You see, as we look today and we see the impact that a mother has upon her children. I thought as I was studying and reading this, I came across a little story, and it said that a mother was getting toward the end of the middle of the afternoon, and the little boy had been fussing and crying and doing this and that and the other, and finally she said, "It's time for you to take a nap." And as he left out of the room, he said, this is not fair. He says, she gets tired and I have to take the nap. But you know, this morning we find that mothers do impact their children's lives. Yesterday I held a funeral for a lady that was 103 years old. 103 years old. Yet as I was there and talked to her family, her sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and daughters and so forth, today, I thought what an impact she had upon their lives, and how that today that as we impact our children's lives, and mothers do that this morning, what a great thing it is to have godly mothers today. Adrian Rogers one time said that mothers, if you want to see what a real mother and want to know what's going on in the home, just ask the children. He said, we're fixing to bring them in from children's church, and he said, we had a max exodus. But you have impact on your children's lives this morning. Paul writing Timothy, and you know, Paul, as he writes Timothy, Timothy was his son in the faith. And Timothy was a great soldier for the Lord. You find this morning that he followed Paul and endured hardships. He made many trips to bring Paul reports from different churches where Paul would send him to. And he found this morning that where did all of this start? Well, the Bible says that as we read in our text this morning, it started with his mother and with his grandmother. And so they impacted his life because they brought some things into Timothy's life that we need to see today that is brought into the lives of our children. The first thing that Paul mentions here is that they brought a sincere faith. He said an unfeigned faith. That means today a faith without hypocrisy. That's what unfeigned means this morning. It means there was no acting out. You see, Timothy was not playing a role this morning. He was living his faith, and it was started in his life by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice this morning. And you see, we find that he was there, and these women impacted his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, and we often use this as the inspiration of the Word of God, but listen what Paul says to Timothy. Paul says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture this morning. You see, these two ladies taught Timothy the Word of God. They practiced their faith within the home this morning. I believe they brought him to church. I believe today that they brought him to the place where he could hear the Word of God. I believe they brought him to the place where he could be taught what God had for him in his life and the Holy Scriptures. I've heard people complain about mothers who bring their children to church. But the greatest thing that you can do is bring your child to the church. Heard about a little boy, and he was headed out to church one Sunday morning with his mother, and he looked over at his daddy and he said, did they make you go to church when you was a boy? He said, sure did. And he said, I don't guess it'll do me any good anyway. Listen today, it does you good. And it's good to bring your children to the house of God. Why? Because there they'll learn the Holy Scriptures. There they'll see an unfeigned faith, a faith that is not a play-acting faith, a faith today that's not filled with hypocrisy this morning. The Bible says this morning that we're to train up our children. And the grandest thing that you can do for your child this morning is not today to buy them a new car, or to give them material possessions, not even to feed them healthy meals, but I want to tell you the greatest thing you can ever do for your child this morning is to teach them God's Word. The greatest thing you can do for your children today is make sure they know the Holy Scripture. Paul said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Paul said, I'm reminded of the faith that's in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and in thy mother this morning. I was to ask you this morning to stand and who was brought to church when they were children, sometimes even when you didn't want to come. Bruce said that a while ago, no wonder he was always late. He had five girls to try to get here. But I'll guarantee you they brought them to church. Thank God today, then they're still in church. Isn't that a great thing today? That's a great testimony. I want to tell you that this morning. I'm glad this morning that we find that God's Word, as it's indwelt in children today, and we train them up in the way that they should go. I really believe today that if we want to see the morality in our country go up and the rebellion go down in our children, it's not going to start in the educational institutions. It's not going to start in governmental institutions. It's going to start in the home when mothers and dads this morning decide that they need to bring their children to church. They need to teach the Word of God to them. They need to live an unfeigned faith before them this morning. And I believe that would be the antidote for many of the things we see taking place in our country today. We can blame the devil. We can blame the government. We can do everything that we want to do today, but to be honest with you, God has a plan for the child. God said, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're to teach them God's Word. We're to bring them so that they might learn the Holy Scripture. We are this morning responsible before God today to make sure our children are taught God's Word. Several years ago, I was in a home and talking to a lady. And we were talking, and I thought everything was doing very good. And she began to talk about her children. And I said, well, you know, you're responsible for raising your children. And however they turn out is your responsibility. And she said, now, wait just a minute. What are you telling me? I said, God said to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God said today that we're to train up a child in the way that they should go. And I said, it's your responsibility to teach them God's Word, to bring them to God's house, and to raise them according to God's standards today. And if you do not do that, then you are going to be held responsible by God for that. She got up and she said, you get out of my house and you get out right now. I said, yes, ma'am. Why was that? People get angry. Because we want to blame everything else. But it's really our responsibility, isn't it? Paul said, hey, Timothy, I remember your faith. It's an unfeigned faith. It's not a hypocritical faith. And it dwelt first in your grandmother and in your mother. And they taught it to you that from a child you've been raised up this way. Timothy had a sincere faith. He wasn't acting out a role. He was doing what he'd been taught all of his life. Then it was a steadfast faith. That is a faith that never quit. You know, sometimes we may wobble on the axle a little bit, and I'm sure that Timothy did by reading a couple of Paul's writings to him. But the one thing I can tell you about Timothy, according to the Word of God, he never, never, never quit. He did not quit. You read how that Paul said that Demas has forsaken me. You read about how that John Mark left and went back home on one of the missionary journeys. We today can look around and many times people quit. But when you read this, when you look at Timothy today, you find that Timothy stayed the course. He was steadfast in his faith. He never quit on the Lord today. That's a great thing today. He was steadfast. I think that probably his mother and grandmother had a word that was not in their vocabulary, but they struck it out. That word was can't. I remember my mother telling me, I'd say, I can't do that. She'd say, you can and you will. You can and you will. We were not allowed to say we can't do something this morning. And I'm a little bit tenacious at times, and I really don't want to let go. And that was instilled in me this morning. I've decided that, you know, most of the time, if it can be done, I can do it. I remember several years ago when we moved from Nettleton back to Smithville, and when we got the washing machine put back in and turned on the water, water was going everywhere. And so I told Essie, I said, well, let me see if I can't fix that. She said, do you think you can fix it? It didn't take me but 3 weeks, but I got it fixed. I wasn't going to quit till I got it fixed. Listen to me this morning. We instill in our children steadfastness. And in their life of Timothy, they instilled a steadfastness that Timothy never, 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 never quit this morning. That's the little boy that walked out in the yard and threw the ball up, said, I'm the world's greatest batter. Missed it. I'm the world's greatest batter. And he missed it. Threw it up again. He said, I'm the world's greatest batter. And he missed it again. He said, well, I guess I'll just be the world's greatest pitcher. It was steadfast. Never, never, never did Timothy quit. You read that how Paul, as he got to the end of his life, and he wrote Timothy, and he said, Timothy, I want you to come. I want you to come before winter. Timothy, I have a desire to see you. I want you to come. Why? Timothy was still Paul's son in the faith, and he never quit on God. He never quit on Paul. He never quit on Jesus, because that was instilled in him at a young age by his mother and his grandmother this morning. We need to be steadfast. Never, never, never quit. And then a selfless faith. A faith that gives. You see, I believe Timothy was taught it was not all about Timothy, but about the Lord and serving him. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Desi and I had four children, and, you know, we loved all of them. And certainly, you're always thinking and trying to determine, and you want to do what's best for your children. And I didn't want them to walk around depressed with their heads hanging down, but you know, I found out a long time ago that some of the stuff I'm hearing today, that you don't do this and you don't do that, you'll warp their image, you'll warp their personality. You know, and if you correct them and discipline them and train them up, you'll kind of warp them. Well, I warped them a few times, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all got warped a few times too, didn't you? And it wasn't their personality I warped either. But you see, it's not, we're in a society sometime that wants everybody to think it's about them. But it's not about us. We live in a selfish time, folks, when everybody thinks about themselves. When in reality, the Scriptures teach us that it's more blessed to give than to receive, doesn't it? It teaches us so many things today. And you see, Timothy had a selfless faith. As you read here, he was serving the Lord. Sometimes Timothy didn't want to be where he was at. Sometimes Timothy was sickly and seemingly, you know, wanting to quit and say, hey, but he said, it's not about me, it's about the Lord this morning. That was instilled into him by his mother and his grandmother, I believe. Several years ago, many years ago, in New Iberia, Louisiana, I was a member of a color guard that was for a funeral for a young man that had been killed in Vietnam. He had through a helmet and then dived on top of the helmet of a hand grenade and was blown to bits to save his comrades. He gave his life to save that of his comrades today. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where did that come from? Why would he do that? I believe it had to come from somewhere within that was trained and taught in him today. I know nothing about the young man. I know nothing about his family. I know nothing really about his life, except that he gave his life for his country and for his comrades. That's a selfless love. Young Timothy had that instilled in him today. You see, as we gather here today and we honor our mothers, thank God for godly mothers. You see, Timothy had troubles and problems, but he always served God faithfully. And I believe you can trace everything that Timothy did back to his grandmother and to his mother. What a godly pair they were. What a wonderful family Timothy had. This morning, if you are here and you're a mother, my first thing to ask you to do would be to simply follow the example that we have here of this mother and grandmother and raise them up and teach them and train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You're a child and you've had a godly mother, my admonition to you would be to go to her and thank her and hug her and tell her you love her and you appreciate her. And I can say this to you. I believe that a hug and a sincere kiss and an I love you goes a lot further than a card or a bought gift. If you had a mother that loved you and cared for you, then you ought to this morning appreciate them and care for them. If you're a mother and you have children, raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And above all else this morning, make sure they know Jesus. Above all else. Because when you know Jesus, everything else will fall into place. Amen. This morning, as we honor our mothers, if you have a mother, as I said, you make sure you go to her and tell her you love her. If you have a child, please raise him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All right, as we stand together, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've been together. We ask you might take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.